Blog Talk Radio.
Nalema kulila misozi, nikayanga na banja latu. Kupadwa tinabadwa mushe, koma lelo lipazulika. Nikale tinakalapo kondwela, lelo eka tutikumbukila kweta chokela. Amai kubutika mutima, koma zoji tazisoa. Nimaona misozi masomu.
Good morning from Dallas, Texas, and welcome to Zambia Blog Talk Radio on June 11th, 2015. Thank you for joining us from wherever you are listening to us. We do appreciate you taking the time to tune in every Saturday as we continue to do this, bringing information, stories, and happenings around the world. It is 11:02 p.m. in Perth, Australia, 7 p.m. in Moscow, and 4 p.m. in London. We do appreciate everybody joining us. Okay, today we have an interesting discussion. This is going to be, we have two things we're going to deal with here. And first of all, we'll be speaking to Jessie Chisi. She's a film director, screenwriter, and entrepreneur. She's in the film industry, movies, and all those things in Zambia. And then we are going to leave some time at the end of the discussion for us to talk about the diaspora policy that is coming up. There's going to be a visit by the permanent secretary from Foreign Affairs in Zambia, who's going to be doing a tour in the Atlanta area and the DC, and there's going to be a conference call. Our honorary consular, Robert Chinga, Dr. Patrick, I want us to discuss that after our discussion with Jesse Chisi, film director, screenwriter, and entrepreneur, and we're going to get that into that discussion straight away and learn some things about the movie industry and filmmaking in Zambia. That's what it is about. Okay, Jesse, good morning. Thank you for joining us.
Thank you. Good morning.
How are you?
How are you? I'm fine. Actually, outside, we're doing community service, so now I had to take a break to do this interview.
Okay. Yeah. Great. Exciting. I like it when people take a little bit of time just to talk to us. I know you have a busy schedule, and I appreciate you doing this. Hi, Robert.
Good morning, cousin. How are you?
Doing fine, cousin, consular, honorary ambassador, everything about.
Oh, no,
sir. Thanks for joining us. Jesse Chief is a film director, screenwriter, and entrepreneur. And Jesse, I know you are based in Lusaka, and right now you're in Austin, Texas. Is that right?
That's very right.
Okay. So tell us what brings you to the U.S. and Austin, Texas in particular.
All right. I'm here under the Mandela Washington Fellowship. It's a flagship organized by the President Barack Obama for Young African Leaders Initiative. So this program brings together all 500 young people from 18 countries, and they're in different states, learning on leadership, on entrepreneurship, civic management, and public civil rights and public management. So it's very competitive program. This year we had over 40,000 applicants to actually make it. They had to pick 500 young people, and there's one from Zambia that was picked. Zambia alone, we had about 1,900 applicants, then shortlisted 200, then only picked 21 finalists. So I'm one of the people, but I was deported to Texas, and some of the Zambians are in different states also. So that's what brings me here. But it is, for me, this opportunity mainly is exciting because it focuses on Africa, because I believe Africa is rising, and Zambia is one of that. just coming to learn on different different things that will literally sort of help you when you go back home in terms of leadership in whatever capacity you're doing it is like, for me, that's what is doing it. So yeah, I'm so excited to be here, but I'm under entrepreneurship and business track with University of Texas in Austin.
Excellent. You've clearly stated, Jesse, in your comments that it's highly competitive, and of course the numbers that you've thrown out speak for themselves. Like they say, numbers don't lie. 40,000 across Africa, 1,900 in Zambia, shortlisted to 100 to 21. Share with us how is the process of selection and what was your experience going through this?
I mean, the first experience was getting an application form. I mean, it's open to every young person out there. So it was an opportunity. So I thought, because of the things I'm doing, let me try it out. So I tried it out. It was intense sort of essays that one has to answer. And one day I was working, then I just got a call from the U.S. Embassy that I've been shortlisted for an interview. Then I went for an interview. Then I waited for the final list, which was coming from Washington, D.C., through IREX, where they were selecting the final people. So I was one of the 21 to be selected. Actually, it was so funny because that day I was actually screening my film, which I'll talk about later. At the U.S. Embassy, we were having the screening. And then before my screening, I was called upstairs and I was told, well, you're the first person to be told you've made it to the Mandela Washington Fellowship. And I was so excited. You have no idea. This is like highly competitive. And for me, I just thought like, wow. You know, I felt privileged. But again, when I thought about it, I feel like I've been working hard. I've been contributing to Zambia in whatever capacity. And this is what they're trying to say. You don't have, leadership is on many levels. In whatever level you are, you can still contribute. You don't need to wait for the higher office, you know. And then from the grassroots, I've been doing a lot of things that has been inspiring young people. And I've been like sort of, I've been leading in the film industry to sort of create a sustainable industry in terms of film and that. So yeah, that's
excellent.
Been the process.
All right, you said you are here because of what you do in Zambia, okay?
Yes.
What does Jesse do in Zambia? I know you are a film director, screenwriter, entrepreneur. How is the film industry in Zambia? How did you get into this?
Well, it's a long story. I try to make it short. I started having interest in film at the age of 13. You know, being young and growing up in Zambia. I don't come from a rich family, but I had passion. And being introverted, I wanted to share, to express myself in the things around me. And the film was one of the things that I felt I could express myself. So I started studying journalism at Zambia Institute, ZAMCOM, mass communication. Mm-hmm. Then I did also TV production there. Then I went to Durban Talent Campus in South Africa. Then I went to Finland, where I further did my studies. Then I made it to German Berlinale Talent Campus, where actually my real profession was best. It was in 2010 there, where actually I was embarking on my face feature after having made a lot of short films. So yeah, I tried to make it as short, but it's been a long journey. This feature film I'm talking about, the one I've done, is on Esther Perry. So while it's been staying in Europe, I was tired of hearing negative things about Africa.
Esther Perry, the boxer?
Yes, Esther Perry, the Zambia's first female boxer. So I wanted to make my final film. So I'd already made films in Finland, so I wanted to make a film about my country. But I wanted to make a film that is positive, unlike Africa has got Ebola, Africa's got HIV. I wanted to shape and change that. I wanted to tell a story and inspire that actually, there are actually positive stories. There are people like Esther Piri who can come from grassroots and then actually yes. make it as a hero and the household hero and the symbol that actually people can look up to. And yeah, so that was my motivation. And the other thing is like, I feel Africans should tell their own stories. So this also gave me the opportunity to begin telling my own story from my own perspective and my own point of view. And then sadly, being young and woman, I wanted to prove that I'm a woman and I can still make films. And then I ended up being Woman of the Year in film because my film is good. Not that because I'm saying it's good, I had to wait for people to see it and they have said it's good. So that's been like a process for me, like, of course, like making this film as a young woman and being female, you are in this challenge, unconventional sort of career where it's male dominated, you know. So I had all these factors that I had to fight through my career, you know, and things like that. So when I got back home in Zambia, because Zambia is where my heart is, you know, I want to tell stories from there. I feel there's so much the world doesn't know about our country, and I want to document it through film. And then when I went home, because we don't have a film school in Zambia, so I began this one project called Young Cinema in Zambia. So through the Finnish Foreign Ministry, I got a funding to actually train young people, because I saw what film could do for me, created a career for myself. I can pay, you know, my dues through film. So I thought if it can happen to me, then if we train, let's say, 25 more people, then Zambia will be in a better place. Because those 25 people can actually employ 100 more people, you know. So that was my vision. So we started this one project called Young Cinema in Zambia. And we did it with Euphoria Borealis. It's a film association in Finland. So we traveled to Zambia and actually stayed in Zambia for 1 month and did an intense film training. It was amazing. I wish you were closer to me. I could show you some of the films because I have them on my laptop. It was amazing how much talent actually is in Zambia. How much motivated these young people were. So for me, I thought, okay, this is how I want to give back. You know, I get knowledge from outside Zambia, then I take it back home and actually not only benefits me, but I share it with others. So I think those are some of the things. Also, like, I'm a human rights activist. I advocate for children's education. So
before we go to human activists.
Before we go, so I tried to direct everything, but you need to choose.
I know you are trying to pull out a 7,000 page book here in 5 seconds. Esther, Jesse, let's talk about, I want you to give some more information about the Young Cinema in Zambia. What type of a training program is it? Is it an ongoing school, like what anybody may know a college to be, or it's just a short term? What type of a program is this?
My vision, we started first with training, but there's a bigger vision to this because now we've created a curriculum. I remember being talking with Robert about it, telling him, let's open a film school, Robert. This is what we need to do. So, but face, you know, in terms of business or entrepreneurship, you always have to focus and start small before you actually target for the large ladder. So what we're starting is starting small. We're training every year 25 people, you know, which already we're creating a curriculum which is going to work for us when we open a film school and we bring professionals. So the process is this. We have an application which goes out. First, we get a grant from Finland. Hopefully this year we get it again. So we get a grant from Finland. Then we call out for applications. So we have six classes. So in each class, there's 4 students. So there's producing, writing, directing, sound, editing, and camera. So we have in those classes 4 students. Then then every morning they have master classes where they learn everything about film. Then in the afternoon they break out into their various classes. So they do this intensively for 3 weeks. Then their third week, we pair them. Now, as the way a production team works, so we get one director, one writer, one, when we pair them as a team, then they go and make actually their short films, which is like their final graduation products, you know. So that's how young cinema in Zambia. We have, this has shown me that actually film is an industry, if grown into sustainable industries, it could actually create jobs and employment for young people, because most of the people that we've trained, I can tell you right now, none of them is out of employment. They're either doing their own things, or ZMBC has, you know, I've given them a job, or movie, TV. Actually, right now, there's a certain euphoria going on in Zambia. Of course, and a lot of people, like my film, the Esther Perry Project, has actually opened up doors to show that it is actually possible to make a film in Zambia, a quality film that of international standards. And all we need is skills, you know. There's talent, but talent alone is not enough. People need to be educated. You cannot break rules you can't know. So this is all about young cinema. So we do it annually, like 20. Then in the near future, probably next year or the other year, we want to build a film, a state-of-the-art film university academy, you know, where we actually have people actually train and can compete on international level.
Excellent, excellent. You're listening to Zambia Block Talk Radio. Our special guest this morning is Jessie Chisi, a film director, screenwriter, an entrepreneur. Currently, she's attending the Mandela Washington Fellow. Yeah, fellow in the U.S., and she's currently in Austin, Texas for some time there. Jessie, there are some very powerful people here, and I'll tell you, you are Robert. When you are in the hands of Robert, you are in the right hands. He knows all the people with the money. So just stick with Robert.
Yes.
One or two more questions before I ask my colleagues who have called in to ask their questions. Number one, let's talk about the Zambia Short Film Festival. What is it about?
Yes, the Zambia Short Film Festival is a platform where, actually, when we started the Young Cinema in Zambia project, you know, because film is very infant. People don't actually make quality films because of lack of skills, like I mentioned in the beginning. So we said, okay, Zambia Short Film First, let's create a platform in which these people we are training can actually show their films, you know, can actually be inspired and show their film to the world, because short films are a good way of practicing your skills. And so we started that. So this is our third year, and it's growing and it's getting exciting. And now at least people are beginning to understand that you don't have to invest so much money in a film, then go to the cinema and told it's a bad film, you know? So first they will need to learn to practice through short films, and if people love their short films, then actually there's possibilities of them loving their long films. So this has been why we created it. It's youth-oriented, and also professionals do actually send us films. So it happens every year in October. So we're having it this year. This will be our third year, and the theme for this year is called Short Life.
Okay.
Yeah.
You have produced or made, is it five?
Five
you have
films.
Written, yeah, five short films. And when you say short film, what is the average length? Because I watched one. I watched Goodbye. I think it's about 8 minutes. Is it 8 minutes?
8 minutes, yes.
Yeah, about 8 minutes.
Any film under a feature length is short. A feature length is a 90-minute film. So any film under 1 hour is considered as short film. So, but for the festival, we only show maximum 15-minute films.
Maximum 15 minutes. Film. Okay.
Yeah.
Those that are listening, if those that are listening wants to watch any of your short films, where do they need to go? What do they need to do?
There, we have a Facebook page called Zambia Short Film Fest. You can find us and like our page. We have a website, www.zambiashortfilmfest.com. So you can also find us there. And we can interact with you, and we give you feedback and a lot of information concerning the festival itself. Yeah.
When I watched Goodbye, I was trying to follow and understand the message in that movie. Help me understand what it's about. First of all, was it done in Finland?
I shot that. Actually, that was my first film I did while I was in Finland. It's mm-hmm. been how many years? About 7 years old now.
Okay.
So it was based on a true story. It's sort of at that stage, I started the film culture. It's very, melancholic, sort of. So I was in that state of mind, in that culture where everything is a bit poetic in terms of storytelling. So I wanted to give it that style. But the film is more depth. I've got more depth in it, in its simplicity. It's about a son whose mother is dying of cancer. And then all she needs is a last wish. Like she wants lip gloss because her lips are dry. Then when she requests for that, when the first son comes back, he finds the mother is dead, then he still goes on and still puts lip gloss on her lips. So it's more like if in an African sense, it takes you how sacred death can be on that level, like a mother's love for a son, you know, and that connection they had. Just saying goodbye is mostly when you wait for it, you never sometimes have that chance to say it, you know.
Excellent.
So that
was
the message. I just wanted to show if a father-son relationship, but in a more simple but yet complex way. Now, can I ask you, what did you think? Huh? What did you think?
Yes.
Did you interpret it?
I'm the one asking the questions here. It's good. It's very good. It's very good and it's very moving. I want to encourage everybody, if you go to Zambia Short Film Festival Facebook page and their website and like the page, you'll be able to watch some of these short films. I want to allow my colleagues here to ask questions. Let me go to Canada. Roger, please go ahead with your question.
Thank you, Nathan. Thank you, Jesse.
Thank you so much.
But I have, I think, maybe 20 questions or so. Listening to this, a minute is a kind of short minute for a film. Help me understand what is the target audience for 8-minute movie, and what is the objective for an 8-minute movie?
In a short film, life in itself has got a lot of lessons that could be short or either, you know. Let me give you an example. If you see an accident which happens in a minute because it was caused by a reckless driver, okay, you want to talk about that. Do you understand? In its short sense, it's deep, but it's got a message which actually can transcend, you know. So the whole essence of short films, it's the same objective as long films, to talk about things that matter to you, you know, in a sense that will touch people. But it's short films also are ways of you expressing yourself and saying, look, I want to make a long film, but I have a talent. And people see that. And if they like your short film, when you make your long films, I'll give you of Robert Rodriguez, yeah, the man, one of my favorite directors, who did he did Beaded Head. That was his short film. Like, you know, he started out with short films. Then he went to do El Maliachi. Then he went to do Desperado. Then he did 25 Days Later. Do you get it? Do you get my point?
Yeah.
So every filmmaker's going through short films because it's the same medium of communication, but it's just short. You get it?
Okay.
So it's like
Go ahead.
So for me, short films are better, especially in Zambia, in a country where we don't have a film school. You don't want to spend your money. You have no idea how films goes. Then you spend your money making a 90-minute film. Then you, no one comes to the cinemas to see it because it's bad quality. So why don't you then start practicing through short films? When you perfect your art, because if I tell you through a 1-minute film, I say, look, it wasn't good, you can improve, this is good, this and that, I give you feedback, you go back and perfect that. You know, rather than spend millions or thousands of cash on a film, which you have no skills on, you know. So the whole idea is to promote professionalism and also inspire people to be perfect at what they do.
Okay, good. Roger, thank you. Those are good questions. Before I go
thank
to Dr.
You.
Patrick, I have a question on social media from Oba. Nollywood has grown very big. You know this, Jesse, extremely big.
Yes.
The movies are all over. How does Zambian talent compare to Nigerian talent?
I mean, Zambia talent is very good. We've got many advantages, you know, compared to Nollywood in terms of talent and skill. In as much Nollywood is talented, but they have also the power of numbers, you know. That's for the millions, which actually is the anchor of the industry. As compared to Zambia with 13 million people, and how many people from that, you know, environment watch films? And then as opposed to Nollywood with 133 million, is it? You know, people, and you get it. So it's like you're dropping an ocean. So what happened when it comes to that's why in now there's a lot of co-productions going on, you know. So if you can team up or come up with a brilliant Zambian film or get a Nigerian actor, you know, through those interactions, then you can source those markets. Or if it's a good film, it goes to every market, you know.
Yes.
So
yes.
It's not limited. So all we need is, I think all what Zambia needs is a very good film, you know, people that can actually say, look, we're going to start on a good note. We're not going to try to make a lot of bad films and go into this process. It just needs people committed, you know, and just make good films. 1 year, 1 year each year we get two good films, it's okay. Then, you know, costume exposes the country, its culture. It exposes you to tourism, to Zambian culture, you know, and this is why we need to invest in film, because it's just beyond images, you know.
I agree with you. We are talking to Jesse. She's a film producer, director, and screenwriter, and entrepreneur. Dr. Patrick, you're listening to Jesse talk. What do you have to say to her?
Jesse, I am so proud of you.
When I
heard you talk about your classes and courses, I was getting ready to sign up for those 3 weeks.
Not too late.
you never know. You never know. Mm-hmm. I and a great deal of my colleagues might go your way sometime.
Yeah.
But what I'm waiting for, and slowly but surely gathering potential investors, I'm waiting for you to make the KK documentary.
I know, right? Everyone has been telling me that.
I'm waiting.
There you go.
Jesse, I'm waiting for you. Finances will come your way.
All right.
There you go.
That's a challenge I'm willing to take. I really feel we should document our history. It's very, very important. We should document. I started documenting Esther's story because in 50 years, there's never, ever been a first female boxer. And I thought her story was extraordinary. Even KK is even more extraordinary story. And then we should not wait, you know, for our heroes to be gone, for us to start. We should celebrate them now, while well, we see them, you
That's
know.
Right.
They watch their own film. You know, the story of Esther took me 5 years to make, and then she had no idea what I was doing. So when she saw the film, it was amazing. Then she cried and just told me, thank you. Thank you for respecting my legacy. For me, at that moment, I was like, you know, I was humbled. Like, this is all I wanted to tell you that, look, you inspire many people, and your story actually can reach the world, you know. And I think there's more stories in Zambia like that which needs to be told.
Well,
told
Jesse,
from our own
right.
point of
view. Mm.
You know, it was amazing, like, in the cinema, to have a local film, you know, foreign language film, you know, and then everyone actually is laughing to the Zambian jokes in the film. Like, the whole cinema is giggling. For me, that was, like, exciting. I felt like, wow, you know.
Well, Jesse, when you do the Kenneth Kaunda documentary, not only Zambia will cry, the whole world will cry.
Yeah, I believe you.
Yeah, excellent. Thanks, Dr. Pat, for your comments. Everybody listening, Jesse comes to us courtesy of Talent Zambia USA. If you simply type talentzambiausa.com, the website will come up. Our good friend and a team is part, we consider him to be part of this team, although he shows up once every 10 years. Robert Sichinga is the one who introduced me to Jesse. And go to Talent Zambia USA. They are the sponsors of this show today. Our discussion with Jesse. As we wind up, our discussion, Jesse, here, we're going to be transitioning with Robert and Dr. Patrick. I want us to discuss the Zambia diaspora policy. The permanent secretary from the Ministry of Foreign Affairs is coming to the USA to meet the residents of the US to talk about our contribution towards our diaspora policy, which the government is trying to put in place. Jesse, two questions before we, as we conclude. In addition to opening the academy, what other big goals do you have? What's your big dream?
Okay, so before I say that, before I forget to mention, I just wanted to mention that I met Robert. Even before I came to America, I was in Finland. He called me and said, Jesse, I believe in your talent. I want to put you on Zambia Talent America. And I didn't understand. I was like, okay, what do you mean? So we ended up partnering with him, and we've been working in the background, you know, film schools and whatnot. We, like, my desire, I want to, I've got a lot of projects, you know, and the film school, we want to document Zambian history, we want to document, there's this one project, I don't know, Robert, am I allowed to say about it now? There's this one
Go
project
ahead.
Want, there's this one project.
Go ahead, that'll just inspire us to work hard on it.
Yeah, me and Robert, we want to embark, tell stories 50 years down Zambian history, you know.
That's
so it'll be just short films of events beginning from the 50 years to 2016, you know. I think that's where we're going to expose Zambian stories, you know. Then we're going to have an online channel which will screen those documentaries. So that's the project I want to embark on. And obviously, I hope I get access to KK's story for me, if I get the access, that'll be it. Then we'll be able to just go on and do that film. And also,
excellent.
The film school, you know, if I can get investors to partner with us to just, you know, put the film school in Zambia, a state-of-art film school which has got studios, you know, where people can actually learn film in a more professional sense, you know. And that, that for me, I'll be happy. By the time I hit 30, I would say at least I've done something.
Okay, excellent, excellent. Yeah. My final question, Jesse, is, let me read something to you which I extracted from the website about what you are doing. And I quote, and it says, her aim is to embrace culture through art with the motive to develop the creative industries into sustainable industries that contribute to the national development. And she believes if film is invested in Zambia, it could contribute to boost its economy. You want to comment on that or just conclude with that?
Yes, I can. That's very true. Imagine how much one film, just one film, can boost the economy, can bring to the country, can attract to the country, can create employment. Then imagine if Zambia makes many filmmakers make films. And now with the migration of digital, Zambia's got more channels on TV and it needs content. But who's going to make that content if we don't have the skilled talent? ZMBC now is running on 7 channels as opposed to 2 channels. You know, that's a projection of the future. It needs to be invested because we don't need to outsource from other countries when we can actually create, you know, if we can create our own content and share it to the world, I think that would be a step further in embarking youth and employment, because film doesn't actually need you to have a master's degree. It's like a car. Once you learn a technical skill, you can pick it up and just sustain yourself with it, you know, and stuff like. So I feel like the government of Zambia need to take, which I believe they're taking keen interest in developing this, you know, and whatnot. So I just hope and keep hoping, but in my own capacity, I won't stop, you know. If people join me in my little vision of trying to do my part as a Zambian, I'll be very happy. So, excellent. And I just want to thank you for having me, and I want to thank Robert for keeping supporting me, you know. I really appreciate it.
You are welcome.
I wanted to just share as well. Sorry, I just wanted to quickly share that Jesse had spoken about the need for content. I have, Jesse, you're going to be hearing this for the first time. I've secured a meeting for next Tuesday with the content director of a cable channel right here in the U.S. They're interested in looking at your content and speaking with you more. It's a positive sign because they've already sent me the forms that we'll need to fill out on describing the short film content as well as long productions. So I'm required to at least fill that out as best that I can before Tuesday. So let's keep our fingers crossed that the Tuesday meeting comes out positive. The goal with that is we get your content and Zambian content in general starting to air on US channels. So please keep the fingers for us.
I'm crossing them right now. So exciting.
Excellent.
I'm sure this is something that many Zambians would love to have. I'm really, really grateful, Robert. Thank you so much.
I told you, speak with Robert. Speak with Robert, Jesse. Roger, you wanted to say something?
Well, I just thought what Jesse and Robert are doing, this is very encouraging. I think I've been, I don't know if I'm getting so obsessed with what the Kenyans are doing. Just asking about everything, the Kenyans seem to be beating us. So So when I hear a story like Jesse and what Robert is doing, I am just thinking, how can we multiply this by 10 provinces? How can we multiply this by 10 provinces? Maybe one day we can reach the Kenyans one day. But keep it up, Jesse. Your friends are here at Zambia Block Talk Radio. If we need to...
Thank you so much.
Who knows? Maybe we need a small GoFund to support this, a 1,000 here and there. We should be able to do it. But please now keep it up. Thank you.
Thank you so much. Thank you for having me. You have a lovely day.
Enjoy your stay in the U.S. Those that are listening to us, if you want to follow Jesse, she has a Facebook page called Zambia Short Film Festival, and I believe that's the name of the Facebook of her website too. You can just search for Jesse Chief or Zambia Short Film Festival, and it will be that. All right, Jesse, and this is my pledge to you. Anytime you want to say something, just say you want to come on the show, and I'll bow to you, ma'am.
All right. Thank you. Bye.
Have a wonderful day.
You too. Bye.
All right. Everybody, bye, Jesse. Have a wonderful weekend. It's been all over Facebook and social media that there's going to be a visit from the Permanent Secretary of the Ministry of Foreign Affairs, Mr. Chiarello Mbe, to the United States. The purpose of the visit is basically going to go to Atlanta and D.C., and there's going to be a conference call on Saturday next week. And I just want us to sort of zero in into this in the 17, 16 minutes that we have. It's quite a good time. Robert here, those of you that may not know, I'm so used to calling him cousin. Is it Honorary Counsel? Is that right?
That is correct, yes.
Okay. Those that might not know, Robert is Honorary Counsel for the Embassy of the Republic of Zambia in D.C. and is based in Los Angeles. He can do any business concerning to do with the embassy for you, I mean visa stuff and all those kind of things. I want Robert to comment on the program and whatever information he can give us. And the reason I want Dr. Patrick also to participate in this discussion, it's very important, Robert, because most of us, Roger, do not get the concept. Yeah, everybody that has called in, like Henry, these are our leaders in the community, Namunji, Titus, and everybody, Matilda. At times, Alan, we don't seem to understand the magnitude of things. And these things tend to happen, Robert, once in the lifetime or history of a generation of people. Robert, what is... I know this may sound like a trivial question. Talk to us about the purpose of the Permanent Secretary coming and why is it important that we need to participate?
Well, Nathan, to start with, no, it's not a trivial question. This is, in my view, it's historic, and it's a clear sign that, one, the government realizes the importance of the diaspora to national development. If you have a government make the decision to put a policy together, that clearly shows that what they're looking at doing, what they're focusing on is extremely important. A lot of people don't realize how much contribution the diaspora brings into its nation. And we're talking about contributions that are not in any formal types setting, right? So you're just talking about people sending remittances to friends, family, maybe buying items, maybe trading, maybe some small investment here and there. All of that does add up and has a huge impact on the economy. You know, Roger was making reference to Kenya just now. They just released their diaspora policy, I think, early this year. And it's quite a comprehensive policy, very well put together. I think something else that is particularly important in our case is where you actually have the permanent secretary travel to meet with the diaspora and openly ask for contributions. actions into the policy. That's key. Over the years, Nathan, you know as well as I do, as well as the leaders that you just mentioned, anybody that has had any interaction with the diaspora, with the embassy, with the country, there are areas where we do get frustrated. Maybe information is not being disseminated effectively. There's a breakdown in communication. We would like certain things done a little bit better. But we complain amongst each other without any opportunity to actually make a change. What the government here is saying is, we hear you. We understand your plight. We value who you are. We want to put a policy together, but we don't want to do it in isolation. We want to do it with your input because it impacts you. I don't know of any other time where government has basically come out and said, let's work together to put something together for the sake of our country. I think the only time we've had something of that magnitude is when you looked at the freedom fighters saying, look, as a country, let's come together and fight for independence. Mm-hmm. Now the government is reaching out to every member of the diaspora and saying, submit whatever it is. Come to the meeting if you're able to make it, but if you're not, send us an email directly into the embassy. I created that portal for some people that want to submit anonymously, and we'll hear you and then put this policy together. I have to commend the government for that. This is a historic point. And to your point, Nathan, these things come once in a lifetime. Once the policy is out, I don't see them telling me I'm changing the policy 2 years later. This is etched in stone. And I would like to say that I would like to one day be proud enough to say I also contributed to that policy, because it will go a long way in national development.
Excellent. We'll come back to Robert again to give us information about the arrival dates, the meeting places, and all those things and the schedule. Dr. Patrick, I actually even sent Dr. Patrick a link about this meeting and this issue. And Dr. Patrick, how significant is this? We have been doing Zambia Block Talk Radio going to 7 years now. And we've been talking and talking and talking and talking. How significant is this?
Before I answer that, I just like to ask a question. Why is it every time I hear the name Robert Shisinga, a big smile crosses my face?
Maybe it's because I still owe you money.
No, Robert, I love you so much. Love you so much.
Love you too, Dr. Patty.
You know what we talked about last week? And you asked me what would be transformative? And I mentioned the second thing that I put on the table was creating a diaspora council. That would be transformative. Mm-hmm. What Robert just talked about, this is transformative. Without a doubt, this is transformative. Everything that we've talked about in the 7 years of Zambia Blog Talk Radio, the pros, the cons, the positive aspects, some of the negative aspects, this is transformative. Mm-hmm. And I congratulate you, Robert. I congratulate you.
Mm-hmm. I had nothing to do with it. All I'm doing is passing the message across. We congratulate our government. We're doing our part to spread the word.
Yes, yes.
We are going to have nobody to blame, Dr. Patrick, come 5, 10, 15 years from now. Because somebody cannot make a document or a policy that's going to affect your life, and they are telling you they want to hear from you, and you don't do anything about it.
It's very true.
It's very, very true. And I'm going to go back to Robert to give us information on this thing. And Henry Sakala, you have one person who has been part of this discussion on Zambia Block Talk Radio for a while now. A word to somebody listening out there, the importance of doing this?
Dr. Nathan, did you call me?
Yes, I did.
Repeat your question again.
I said, what is the being a person who has participated in our radio show for a while, what is the significance of us participating in this and responding accordingly?
What is the significance?
You are on the road. You can't hear me properly.
No, I'm not on the road. I like first to listen. I've been listening since the beginning from the lady until to this point. Actually, this
I'm
is
talking
very
about, I'm talking about the permanent secretary's visit. Okay? You are a leader in our community. And what is your word to somebody listening?
This is a meeting which is worthy attending, and this is the beginning of a marathon which will end up somewhere.
Mm-hmm.
It hasn't been done, but this is the beginning, and this shows that these people, the government, has now come to realize the importance of we, the people in the diaspora, and they have known that we can run with these people. And by running with them, we need their effort and their contribution. Nobody can make rules for you without you being present and understand. We live in the diaspora, they live there. They cannot make the rules for us who are here while they are there. But these rules needs we and them combining our heads and pump logic in one another and come up with something which is significant. I understand there is already some topics on the table which will be discussed. And
okay.
I know something which is really to the hearts of we people in the diaspora. Let me just touch on one thing. I don't want to go liner because I may take all the time on the radio. When you look about the Zambians from, I don't know, since 50 years, since we started voting, Zambians have been defranchised of voting, especially those who are in the diaspora. Be that there are so many means that are displayed on the table now that people can vote wherever they are, but still Zambia said no. You have no right to do that. Look at Mexico, they do vote the Mexico who are abroad. Look at France, they do vote France who are abroad. Look at Dominican Republic, Lord have mercy,
even the Kenyans vote.
But what's wrong with Zambia? We are not a threat to them. We are Zambians. Our blood is Zambians, and it's about time they do something like that. Anyway, thank you.
Exactly. Good. Robert, do we know what format these meetings are going to take, and they give us the date?
Well, currently the logistics are still being worked on. The dates are between the 17th and the 19th. So between the 17th and the 19th, we're expecting to have a meeting in D.C., a conference call on that Saturday, and I think you made mention of that, and then a meeting in Atlanta. What has not been confirmed is the exact order. What I have heard is that it's potentially it's going to start in D.C., then a conference call, then Atlanta. That hasn't been confirmed. The press secretary at the embassy will probably be sending out an updated information, hopefully by Monday. For those who are in those areas, they're really encouraged to attend the meetings once the locations are. Those that have to fly may be a little bit difficult with such short notice, and that's the reason why we're encouraging at least those who are not able to make it to send their submissions or their comments directly to the embassy email or through the portal on my consulate website. So at least that way everybody has an opportunity to contribute. So it's between July the 17th and the 19th, in D.C., Atlanta, as well as the conference call. The number for the conference call hasn't come up. So all I do is I just ask that people kind of keep their eyes open on the Zambia Embassy website, as well as their Facebook page, and we'll also do our part to spread the word.
Excellent. We'll also be keeping you abreast, everybody on this show. Let me go to Florida. One of our leaders, Alan Moore. Alan, please go ahead, whatever you want to say, your comment, mobilization, the significance and importance of us doing this.
Yeah. First of all, this is a very, very significant and very, very important meeting that we must attend. They are giving us an opportunity to have some skin in the game so that instead of just pointing fingers like we're just talking from afar, we can actually participate in the direction of our country. A lot of us have lived outside. We see different ideas. We have contributions to make, and we keep saying that. So this is an opportunity for all of us to put some skin in the game, so to speak. And then I do know that we have a tentative confirmation for the Atlanta meeting being on Sunday, which should be the 19th. That was information we got as at late last night. Again, it's tentative. I know because we are kind of involved in trying to mobilize and organize ourselves on the ground. But the Atlanta Association of Zambians president Sadiq has more details because he's been dealing with them directly. But I think so. Those of us who are traveling, we hope to be there. We should be there by some of us Saturday and Sunday, but be available for the meeting. So I just encourage everybody, do whatever you can to travel.
Excellent. So this information, you like Robert and everybody saying, is you can go to the Embassy of the Republic of Zambia on their website, and then you can also look at the information on on their Facebook page and all that information. It has been a great day. I thank my colleague Roger for a great discussion in the morning. We thank Mustafa Chairunga for coming on and leading us in that wonderful discussion on real estate and all that information. Every time Robert brings a guest for us, it's always quality. Robert, thank you for bringing Jesse.
No problem, and thank you, Blog Talk Radio, for what you guys continue to do.
Yes. Everybody, thanks for tuning in and for joining us today. We are looking forward to a great week, and please join us next week at the same time. Remember, please attend the meeting. The permanent secretary is coming for a foreign diaspora policy discussion and town meeting. Second, you can even submit through email. You can even submit through the portal of the website. And we do thank everybody for joining us. Have a great weekend. Finally, the Confederate flag came down, Dr. Patrick. Have a great weekend, everybody. Ziwanda zota nivi Taeza talema na yo mapempelo Atika pena siku lina Azati kumbukila oye Chifu kwa lelo Bantu bonse basoweza ulemu atate imwe Kale osangalala Tuba inga choki Talema na pepo Kapena mbale wanga Azazi wakuti akula Azazi otawa mavuto Alimumanja mwake Kapena zaziwa Kuti afuniko limba Chifukwa ni mwamuna Afuniko vuti kila banja Kuti ni bambo wa nyumba Hello asataye wana Siunga ziwe Aza kutunga kusogoro Oh oh